And so, with the cup held high, may the leave Croke Park, All-Ireland football champions for 1949.
Oh, beautiful me, you got all that I need.
Dempsey hits Darren Fay. Anthony Finnerty comes in and gives him a touch of the elbow. Colm Coyle hitting Finnerty. This is Colm's first punt. Finnerty, delayed reaction, looks around, sees Martin O'Connell coming in and thinks that the best action is to go down.
What a set of matches we've had. Four terrific and memorable games. Final score, Meath 2-10, Dublin 15.
So Joe McDonagh, GAA president, presents Sam Maguire to Graham Geraghty and Meath are the football champions.
Take two. You're very welcome to another edition of the We Are Meath podcast with Davey Rispin and Mickey Brennan. And yes, it was take two on our intro, Davey. You know, you've had to do the intro and the outro to the podcast a couple of times, and it can just stump you, can't it?
It can. It's not the kind of thing you can prepare for either, Mickey. And like, in fairness, yours is kind of muscle memory now at this stage, but occasionally you still do make the odd blip. But yeah, it was a hazy enough weekend, so we'll let you off.
Yeah. It was a busy weekend, so it was. And it was Father's Day on Sunday, so I had the kids for the whole weekend. And I tell you, it's when you have the three of them on your own for the whole weekend and you're trying to entertain them, it's as tough as any stag do, I can tell you.
And you even brought them to commentate with you. I'd say that'll be the last calving game they'll go to. Bring them to a meeting in the future now, will you?
It will be their last calving game for this year, that's for sure. Anyway, so disappointing end to the Tailteann Cup for Cavan once again, having lost in last year's final. They lose out, the favourites once again this year, losing out at quarter final stage, Davey. But Meath, you know, that's what we're here for. And you know, can only beat what's in front of them. They had to face off against Wexford. I know on the match day diary, before the game even started, you know, yourself and Fergal Lynch were talking about it. You both were a little bit cagey. You were like, Meath should get the win. But, you know, Wexford, on the back of a couple of good results, they're going to put it up to Meath. But that wasn't the way to be. Like, Meath led 1-12 to 3 points at halftime. And in essence, the game was over.
Yeah, the game was over after 15 minutes, Mickey. Meath were 8 points to nil up. And the one thing I did feel, and I think I said at the top of the match day diary, was I thought it would be open. I thought Wexford would let us play. I didn't expect Wexford to park the bus and play. Like, maybe Antrim might play next weekend, not to preempt things too much. But it was an outstanding performance from me. Granted, Wexford were shocking. I was going to say something else, but I'll be a little bit more respectful than that. But Meath were very good, and it was definitely their best performance of the year. Okay, against a pretty beleaguered opposition. But as you said at the top of the show, you just have to beat what's in front of you. And some of the performances that we got from some of the Meath lads was exceptional. And there couldn't be too many Meath supporters that walked away from Park Tailteann on Saturday evening too disappointed about what they seen, because I thought it was an excellent display and a good way of signing off from at least Park Tailteann this year.
And probably the first all-round 70-minute display from Meath this year. Obviously, teams are going to have purple patches and they're going to get their little time on top. But Meath never looked in danger after that 15 minutes. And extended the lead right out till the end of the game by 17 points, you know, like, and led by 12 at half time. So even won the second half by 5 points as well, Dave.
Yeah, the only little off period was 13 minutes either side of half time where they didn't score. But the most pleasing aspect from it, from my opinion, and I think I said it to Fergal at halftime, was that they would kick on and they would show no remorse. And that's exactly what they did in the second half, which was really nice to see. Really good performance. Thorough, as you said. And I think that really sets us up and pitted with Cavan's defeat, not to really linger on the point. But that certainly opens it up now for Meath, and they'll really fancy it now, I would say. Even if they may have done already, but I think the supporters now will really start to believe that this is there for the taking now for me.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be doing a full review of that Meath versus Wexford game in Park Tolchin last Saturday at 4 p.m. Full review with interviews from Colm O'Rourke and Jordy Morris after the game. And we will be previewing the Antrim game next Sunday in Croke Park, because the draw has been done for the Tolchin Cup semi-finals. Down will play Laois on Sunday at 4 p.m. and at 2 p.m. in Croke Park on Sunday. Great to be back there. Meath versus Antrim, semi-final of the Tolchin Cup. Andy McEntee over Antrim, obviously. I wonder what the dynamic will be in the Dunboyne household this week between Shane, Aisling, and, well, Aisling obviously not living there now at this age. Probably Shane isn't living there. But I wonder if there'll be any phone calls between Andy, Shane, Aisling, the rest of the McEntee family, or will Andy just have to stay in Belfast for the week?
It might be the best for everybody if he did do that, but I somehow doubt it. Listen, it was inevitable, wasn't it? Like, I think everybody had that feeling when, listen, there was a 50% chance it could have happened anyway, but everybody did feel like that was going to be the draw as soon as it kind of came to light. But yeah, Andy fancied, and I think he'll be right up for it. Antrim will be right up for it. They're the big underdogs going into it, so they have nothing to lose. And it's a weird dynamic, to be honest with you. It's weird enough that you have a son and a nephew involved in a county team and you managing against them. But throw in the fact that he's managed Meath for the last 5 or 6 years before this. You know, and I actually seen a one-liner from, I think he's a journalist up in Antrim. And after Antrim's first game this year, but the post-match interview was about to take place, and Andy's first question to the guys interviewing were, how did Meath do?
Yeah.
So look, it is what it is. But when you're an inter-county manager or you're a club manager coming up against your own teams potentially, that's the sort of position you put yourself in. Now, we wouldn't have envisaged it being that case at the start of the year, for various different reasons, but it's come to light, and I think it's properly set up. You've said it, it's in Croke Park, it's on the television. There's that bit of subplot, bit of a bite to it as well. I think it's a great matchup. I really do.
It really is, and it's an interesting one because we'll say if you take Cavan, for instance, being beaten by Down on the weekend, and if you were kind of doing a grading of the Ulster Championship, that kind of puts Cavan into 7th out of 9 teams in Ulster, behind all of the big guns, and now Down because they got the win victory over them. I would say they're still probably better than Down. Down were well organised or whatever. Anyways, we'll say it puts them into 7th in Ulster. The two teams below them in Ulster have beaten them this year in the National Football League. That's Fermanagh and Antrim. So, you know, like, it just shows you that Ulster football is actually extremely competitive. And Andy went in and took over an Antrim team that I would have said that had bottomed out and just needed a bit of structure. He's done a magnificent job with them, Davey. In the league, you know, they did beat Cavan, as I said. And the games that they lost, you know, were only by a point here and there against some formidable sides in that Division 3. And it just shows you how quick the turnaround has been. And the players have bought in. And like Andy is getting a song out of these players. And this will not be an easy game for Meath because, you know, one of the things that we fear with this Meath team is well-organised teams. And that's what they've got in Antrim. And that's what Andy McEntee has.
Well, very much so. And to go back to your initial point about it, it's a structure. And Andy's put a structure in place there in Antrim. And Conor Laverty's done the same in Down. Don't try and tell me that Down have better players than Cavan or have better players than Meath, because they don't, pound for pound. And Antrim don't have better players than, I would say, 95% of the teams in the country. But if you go in there and you put a structure in place that the players buy into, that you can fine-tune and you can get it right, you can pick up results. I'm just looking at, you know, there's a lot of talk about the Irish team at the minute, and they don't seem to be playing with much of a structure, despite the fact that the players aren't very good. You still need to put something in place that's going to enable you to pick up results. And I think that's exactly what Andy McEntee's done. He's not gone in and got this golden era of Antrim footballers by any matter of means. He's just gone in, and with the resources that's been available to them, he's brought them to this stage. And you could pick out various different examples of that, but that's exactly what Andy's done. And I don't think Meath people can be too surprised that he's done that, because I always felt it was quite a good fit for him. He was going into a team, as you put it, that had bottomed out possibly, and the only way for them was up. They were always going to treat this competition with the utmost respect. I see him one at the weekend who couldn't give it less respect than Wexford, I felt. Awfully clearly didn't after they got knocked out of Leinster. But the teams like Down and like Meath, admittedly, but in particular Antrim and even Laois to a lesser extent, have really gone after this competition. And look at where it's taken them. It's Croke Park and you're into the last four. So they absolutely deserve the utmost of respect.
And I was talking to a few lads in a WhatsApp group as well on the weekend. And, you know, after the Cavan result, and I was like looking at the teams that got through, like Down, Laois, Meath and Antrim. And I do feel that those four teams are using this as a platform. And maybe Cavan looked at it as being below them because, you know, they were riding so high for so long, and then all of a sudden they plummeted to Division 4. Now, you know, a lot of things went against them, but they still found themselves in Division 4 and didn't want to be. Now, they are back up to Division 2 after winning Division 3 this year. What I do feel that the likes of Meath, the likes of Laois, Down and Antrim, they're using the competition in the right way. And the longer you stay playing football during the summer, the better to have, like, going into next year, because your team have trained as long as any of the All-Ireland contenders, let's just say. They've been doing their full gym training sessions and the whole lot right through until the latter part of the summers. So it sets you up nicely for next year.
Absolutely. And in particular, from a Meath standpoint, in the position that we were in, say, after the Leinster Championship, imagine it was the way it used to be in terms of the qualifiers, and you went into the second or third round of the qualifiers and got knocked out a week later. I mean, where would that have put us going into next year? Whereas we've gone into a competition, okay, we wouldn't have liked to have been in it, but it gives you time to kind of get something in place. It gives you time to get confidence and morale into the players, and that's exactly what it's done. And Meath, all of a sudden, are playing with a bit of a swagger, which if you had told me 6 or 8 weeks ago they'd be playing with, I wouldn't have believed you, to be honest with you, Mickey. So likewise, Laois. I mean, Laois are the prime example. Billy Sheehan was being ran out of Laois with torches and stones and all sorts of things. And now look at them, do you know? So it just shows if a team can approach it with the right sort of mentality where it can take them. Like I said about Offaly, they were kicking the ball away from beating Louth and getting to a Leinster final. All of a sudden, they just down tools and they got tossed out of the competition. You know, there's two ways of looking at this, but I think Cavan probably are somewhere in between that. Maybe Cavan looked at it and thought that after getting so close to beating Westmeath, who eventually won it last year, that it was maybe just a case of being the favourites, turning up and winning. And sometimes you can fall into that too. But with Meath, there's definitely clearly progress there. And I think that's all we were asking for from this Tailteann Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. On the Offaly thing, I do think they're all awfully overachieved in the Leinster Championship, and they did have, obviously, a bereavement towards the end of their league that kind of maybe galvanised them, and they were playing, you know, heart and sleeves thing. And then when they went into the Tailteann Cup, I think they were maybe found out a bit. I still think they're very young, and they got a couple of good results this year, all right, but I do think that there's an awful lot of work to be done in Offaly and whatever. But I think it's been so far, it's been a brilliant learning tool for this Meath team. And I did say, I thought it would be a success if Meath could get to a semi-final of the Tailteann Cup. Now, if they can go one better and get to the final, they're going to come up. Like, we cannot take Antrim for granted, Dave. There's absolutely no way we can. They've been consistent right through the year. They've been absolutely excellent. So we can't take them for granted. Anyway, we will be reviewing Meath v Wexford, and we'll preview that Antrim game in a little bit more depth over on our Loyal Royals podcast. So stay tuned for that one coming out this week.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer, on 046 955 1910. or in store in Clonard, County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Otmore, feel free to call into us here in Clonard, County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
We move on now to some fixtures for our other county teams. Davey, the Camogues are out on Saturday in Raharney GAA in Westmeath against Westmeath. Meath are top of the table at the moment with 6 points. Westmeath are in second on 4. Kerry on 1 point in third place, having drawn with Westmeath already. That's the only point that they have on the board. They need for Meath to beat Westmeath and beat them well, and for them to beat Leash by a good few points as well. So, like we say, if they were to win by 13 and Westmeath were to lose by 10, they'd pass them out on the scoring stakes for and against, maybe 14 points or whatever. So there is a bit of an uphill task for Kerry, but we're here to talk about Meath. Brendan Skehan, like, going into the last game, guaranteed qualification, and just wants to top the group at this stage.
Yeah, and I think that'll be significant too, because I think if I'm not mistaken, you get to skip around or you go straight to a semi-final, if I'm not mistaken, whereas the others have to possibly go into a quarters, if I'm not mistaken. But
well, there's three groups of four, so I don't know if the three teams, top teams, get through.
I thought that was a carrot for me for topping the group, and I sincerely hope it is, because that'd be brilliant. We just don't know about the likes of Aoife Minogue, who's obviously so influential. She'll be no doubt needed for the footballers as well on Sunday, so possibly her workload across the weekend might need to be managed. And as you said, it is a must-win game for Westmeath, because they can't rely on Leash doing them any favourites in the position that they're in at the foot of the table. So Westmeath, they'll know that they have to get a victory really on home soil, and that would propel themselves to top of the table. So it's a really enticing looking game. But Meath have been excellent. They really have two pretty sweet victories over Leash and Kerry with the minimum of fuss, which is outstanding. And Brendan Skehan, as you said, has done really well, and he's managed to continue to galvanise the squad after what was a disappointing league final defeat to Kerry only a matter of weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm not sure on the knockout. I think you had the knockout stages last week for the Camogues. But we will get that. We'll talk about it maybe after the next game. We'll see where Meath finish up after their game against Westmeath in Raharney on Saturday. We want to wish Brendan Skehan and all the girls the very best of luck in that game Saturday at 5 p.m. in Raharney. On Sunday, then, it is the turn of the ladies. Jenny Rispin managed Meath ladies team back at the helm for a second term. This time it's an interim job that Jenny has taken, obviously, with all the goings on over the last couple of weeks for this Meath ladies team. Jenny has gone on. We know the backroom team is the backroom team from last year, minus, obviously, two. Who are the two that were not there again?
Eamon Murray
and
Shane Wall.
And Shane Wall is right, yeah, but the rest of the lads are back in. It's a massive one, Davey. Donegal got the better of Waterford last weekend, 2-10 to 1-8. So Waterford need a result, but a result for Meath, win down there for Meath, should be enough, actually will be enough to see them through to the next round, and they will play Donegal in the last round to see who tops the group.
Yeah, I'm not too surprised that Donegal beat Waterford last weekend. They seem to be resurgent up there, and having looked at Waterford actually against Meath in the league, I wouldn't have said that they were too well placed to trouble Donegal. And looking back to that game, as Meath really should have beat Waterford actually, just completely didn't show up for the second half of that game, being in cruise control and got caught at death. But It's a huge game for the ladies. It's a huge game for Jenny Rispin too. As you said, Mickey, you know, trying to go in and I suppose lift the spirits. And I believe the reaction has been pretty good. So let's hope that does manage to galvanize the squad. I suppose the positive thing is it's a short burst in terms of you just need to go in, you need to lift them for the few weeks. You see these caretaker jobs or interim jobs in the Premiership and lower leagues, and they do tend to lift teams when they go in, and hopefully Jenny and the lads can get a bounce from them. But Waterford will fancy it down there because they'll be looking at it and they'll think that Meath are in turmoil. They've already got a win against them on that. So there's going to be nothing easy about it for Meath. But you do feel it's a good opportunity for Meath to get back on the horse here and to really start to build momentum. Obviously, get qualification first and foremost and then test yourselves against Donegal. But yeah, let's just see. But hopefully Meath should have a clean bill of health going down there and can get the 2 points and really kickstart their season.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, best of luck to Jenny Rispin and the Meath ladies team travelling to Waterford on Sunday. 1:30 throw-in for that one. The Meath supporters will be split, Davey, because the Meath senior footballers are playing at 2 o'clock in Croke Park, while the Meath ladies are down in Waterford, Flaher Field, at 1:30. I don't think it's possible to get both games in, even if you do own a helicopter.
No, unfortunately not.
No. We'll move on. We'll have a look at the club fixtures, Davey, because it is the final weekend of the All-County Football League. And we're just going to have a quick look at some permutations and combinations. And we want to thank Thomas McLeod for the information he sent in on our Loyal Royals podcast last week, Davey, towards the end of our predictions pod and our preview pod of last week's game. I was trying to just have a look at the different divisions and I was talking to you. It was late at night. You were getting tired. You didn't want to have a look at it, really. I was trying to go through all the different permutations and combinations and you were like, yeah, whatever, Mickey, just get the podcast over. And in fairness, Thomas McLeod had a listen to the podcast and he sent us in some fantastic information on the All-County Football League and the permutations and combinations. So we'll just have a quick look through it. We will go into a little bit more depth on our All-County Football League preview that's coming up later in the week. Maybe we'll have to get it out before Tuesday anyway. So obviously, Division 3B, Slane and Cortown are the two teams that are promoted. So that is the only division that is finalised, Davey. So when we look then at Division 3A and promotion, so Kilmainham Wood, we know, are relegated. And there's a load of conceded games in this, and that could mean different things. But anyways, so the relevant fixtures from that, we'll see Kilmainham Wood playing Wolf Tones, Kilbride taking on Trim, Summerhill taking on Simonstown. All of those teams could end up in relegation, depending on the results. Now, in fairness to Thomas, he's given us all of possible outcomes, scores, the whole lot. Wolf Tones and Simonstown just need to fulfil their fixtures and they are safe. That's one thing that we know. And for Trim to survive, they need Summerhill to lose and for themselves to beat Kilbride unless one of the other teams concedes a game. And that's written into the rules as well about concessions. So that's another interesting one. In Division 2B, Davey, the promotion end of things, St. Bridget's, Kilbride, St. Colum Kills, Moyla are all still in the reckoning for a promotion in this one. And again, loads of different permutations and combinations, scores for, scores against, and the whole lot. For Colum Kills to be promoted, they would need Moyla to beat Moyla, and they need Kilbride to lose, and a swing of 62 points. Okay, so, you know, for Kilbride to lose by 31, and for them to beat Moyla by 31. So a little bit maybe on the impossible side, but not completely impossible. Bridges just need to draw, or for one of Kilbride or Moyla to drop points, Davey.
Yeah, but just on that, just on that very point, and there's a bit of a presumption out there that Bridget's are in the final and all that. It's far from the truth, right? Bridget's need a draw, granted, but they're away to Menalty. And if Moyle and Kilbride win and Bridget's lose, Bridget's will be dislodged from the top two positions. So they've a tough game as well. That's just not a foregone conclusion yet.
Yeah, absolutely. And if the three teams finish on 14 points, the final would be Bridget's and Kilbride. Moyle need to win and hope Kilbride don't. So there's a few. Now, looking at it, there are walkovers all over the shop there. And St. Bridget's were the ones who came out with the most. And this is something that we spoke about with first and second teams playing on the same nights and whatever. And, you know, for instance, nobody else had more than one walkover in that division, but St. Bridget's had three. So we'll move up then to Division 2B and have a look at what can happen here. In the relegation, Screen are already relegated. We know that. The relevant fixtures are Longwood and Gael Colmkill, Dunboyne and Raithoughte. Longwood need to win and Dunboyne to lose for Longwood to stay, regardless of score difference or HTH, whatever that is. If both finish head on to seven, head to head, sorry. Both finished on 7 points. Longwood will stay as they haven't forfeited any matches. Dunboyne have the advantage of playing 2 days later than Longwood and knowing whether they need a result versus Raithoughte. So again, second team's not playing on the same time as the first teams here in that one. Moving up then to Division 2A. Lots can happen in this. I'm not even going to go through all this, Davey, but look at all of that. So promotion is not guaranteed for anybody yet here. The relevant fixtures are Raithoughte versus Clonmacnoise, Longwood versus Gael Colmkill, Ballinlough versus Castletown, Carnaross versus Clonmacnoise, Screen versus St. Dultans, and Dunboyne versus Raithoughte. We're only after talking about the relegation, and we're looking at the promotion hopes up at the top of the table here. So head-to-head, Raithoughte beat Carnaross, Clonmacnoise beat Castletown, Raithoughte beat Castletown, Clonmacnoise beat Ballinlough. You can go through them all. Ridiculous number of permutations. The four teams on 8 points can get promoted, but are relying on others to lose. Even though Raithoughte can make it to 12 points, the fact that they conceded a game will count against them straight away in any tiebreaker. Ultons just need to draw. Clonmacnoise need 2 points from the two games. Castletown need to win for Ultons to lose, and for Ultons to lose, or Clonmacnoise to not win either of their two games that they had left. Now, I think they played one of their games, if I'm not mistaken, and got the victory. Is that right, Davey?
Who did?
Clonmacnoise. Did they play last Friday?
Yeah, I think they did. I think Ultons are guaranteed a final spot, no? Now,
maybe they are after the results from the weekend. We'll have a look at that. So on Division 2A, so these permutations and combinations were done up by Thomas McLeod last Monday before the games went ahead midweek and towards the end of the week. There was only maybe three or four games that went ahead last week. For promotion in Division 2A, we've obviously got three teams on 18 points, Meathill, Dunsany and St. Pat's. Head-to-head, they've all beaten each other. So Pats beat Dunsany, Meathill beat Pats, Dunsany beat Meathill. So it's just madness. Nothing complicated here. If all win, then Meathill and Pats will be promoted unless there is a big swing in score difference. All three have beaten each other, so we'll win and lose a head-to-head depending on matchups. Interesting that all three are away from home, with Dunsany having significantly shorter drive. He's even done the maths on the distances between the games. On the relegation front, Drumbarra and Dunshaughlin are relegated. Blackhall Gaels have the head-to-head over Drumbarra, so that means that they are gone. This is already decided, even if Drumbarra finish level with Blackhall Gaels. We've talked about that. So moving up then to Division 1B again, this is absolutely an absolute nightmare. On the relegation side of things, we have Rathkenny, Oldcastle, Dundry and Corraha all in the mix. Head-to-heads, Oldcastle beat Rathkenny, Dundry beat Corraha, Rathkenny beat Corraha. We could go through them for ages. Sidden are safe due to Rathkenny and Dundry playing each other in the final fixture. So that's good for Sidden. Either team can reach 7 points, but it's impossible for both, which saves Sidden. A draw is enough for Oldcastle for the same reason that both Rathkenny and Dundry can't reach 7 points. Oldcastle can be relegated if they lose to Sidden and Rathkenny beat O'Mahony's. Dundry beat Rathkenny and Corraha beat Waterston. So, like, again, massive amount of permutations and combinations in there. It's absolutely brilliant. And we'll have a look at Division 1A. The fight for promotion from Division 1B, Navan O'Mahony's, they've had a victory during the week. And that means that they are definitely promoted and through to a league final. Balnabraki play St. Michael's on the last day, and it's all going to come down to that game. If St. Michael's win, they get promoted and they play against Navan O'Matney's in the final. Balnabraki get a draw or a win, they are promoted and will play Navan O'Matney's in the final. So that one is fairly clear cut and fairly easy. It's going to come down to that Balnabraki St. Michael's game on the last day. And in Division 1A, Trim are relegated. So on the relegation side of things, Dunshaughlin, Dunboyne, Nafianna and Screen are all in the mix here. So there's loads of different head-to-heads. So Trim are already relegated. It is mathematically possible for Dunboyne to be relegated, although it would be, require a Nafianna win, Screen to draw, Dunshaughlin to win by a minimum of 14 points and Dunboyne to lose by a minimum of 18 points. So like, while Dunboyne are pretty safe, they're not mathematically safe. So again, loads of different things can happen there. And on the promotion end, or well, not the promotion end, but on the league final end of things, in Division 1A, Bracote are already through to the final, and it will come down to Summerhill against Dunmore Ashburn and St. Colum Kills against St. Peter's Dunboyne. So the only issue there is that St. Colum Kills have had a walkover, and that was from Wolf Tones last week. We didn't know what the story was with that one, Davey, but the walkover was given.
Very disappointing, Mickey, because I think that game was kind of purposely put back for Wolf Tones, having played in the Camorta spell the week before. And it does skew things, you know, ever so slightly at the top. But disappointing to see that in Division 1A of all places. But yeah, straightforward equations, though. You'd imagine both would win. And Colum Kills have the head-to-head, don't they? So, yeah, they should.
Looking at it, Kills beat Summerhill by 3. Rathote have qualified for the final as, if all three teams finish on 17 points, Rathote have the highest score difference from matches against the other two teams. This method must be used as Wolf Tones gave Kills a walkover, making the total score difference unusable. If Kills beat Dunboyne, then they qualify for the final, as Summerhill can't finish ahead of them on any tiebreakers. For Summerhill to make the final, they need a win, and for Colum Kills not to win. So that would be...
And just on that, like, what I know we'll talk about it more, Mickey, but what a job Jody Devine has done.
I was just...
Yeah. Like, absolutely incredible when he went in there. He went in late as well, it has to be remembered. And it looked like those two formidable sides at the top wouldn't be headed. And Colum Kills, okay, they still have to go and finish the job, but what a position they put themselves in.
Absolutely. And back-to-back league finals, if they do it, if they can get the victory over St. Peter's and Boyne. Now, they did have a disappointing championship last year, Davey.
Yeah.
And that's something they'll want to rectify this year. Like, it's all right, well and fine proving yourself in Division 1A of the league when county footballers are not available for all the clubs, well, most of the clubs and most of the year. But they will have to show a little bit more grit and determination coming into the championship.
Very much so, yeah. They were really underwhelming last year in the championship after, as you said, a terrific league and a very good league final against Summerhill.
Yeah.
But so Jody will know that. And Lexon, he's had most of those players available throughout the year. So they'll be rightly prepped. And incidentally, I think they're in the same group as Rathote in the championship. So there could be a dress rehearsal there in the league final also. So yeah, fascinating goings on.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Well, best luck to all the lads taking the field this week. It's we have one division that's finalised and the other ones are pretty finalised, let's just say. But we'll know more after Tuesday evening.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Time, Davey, to move on to our lotto segment.
Yes, Mickey. First up on the lottos this week is the last in, which was Menalty, if I'm not mistaken. It was Walterstown who came in today. And their results from Sunday night, the numbers were 10, 19, 27 and 28. No winner of their €7,100 jackpot. They did have one match three winner, who was Ashley O'Dowd, collecting €100. Next week's draw is now open and the jackpot rises to €7,200. You can play via Club Force or pick up an envelope in Curran's Texaco Garage on the Dublin Road or O'Brien's Bar and Restaurant in Johnstown. Menalty next in from Sunday night as well, starting afresh with 1, 7, 17 and 25, their numbers. No jackpot winner, four match three winners collecting €50 each were Anne Lamb, Jackie Craney, Patricia Kearns and Bernie Smith. The special online prize of €50 went to Kevin Farley. And next week's draw takes place on Sunday, the 25th of June, with €2,600 on offer. Gail Cullum Kill from the 15th of June, 2, 4, 6, and 24. The numbers, €5,250 of a jackpot, not won. Match three winners sharing €150 between them were Chelsea Daly, Eamon Morris, Kathleen Smith, and B and C Ferguson. Cortown from the 16th of June, 14,700 jackpot, not won. The numbers were 13, 15, 23, and 26. The €520 winners were Linda Whelan, Tess Daly, Rosita Miles, Joanne Noon, and Nicole Fagan. We go again with €14,800 next Friday night at cortownga.com/lotto. Castletown from the 14th of June, €4,000 of a jackpot, not won. 2, 5, 14 and 18, the numbers. Lucky dip winners pocketing €30 each for Dennis Ward, Barbara Smith, Peter Sheridan, Joe and Lily, Mae Weldon and Dara and Rowan McCann. Navin O'Matney's from last week, they had no jackpot winner either. 7, 8, 11 and 26, their numbers. Match three winners were John Rowe, John Ward, Brendan Cummins, Laura Coyle, Paul McDade, Darren O'Toole, Sarah Shaffrey, and Paul Marr. They have €10,700 on offer next week, and the draw takes place on Tuesday night, the 20th of June. Drumbara, they had €1,900 of a jackpot last time round. It wasn't won. 4, 8, 23, and 24. Their numbers, €30 winners were Megan McGrath, Marcella Meegan, the Gogarty family, Barry Monaghan, and Joe Gavin. Next up is Menalty from the 12th of June, which was last Monday night. 1, 8, 20 and 25. No jackpot winner. €320 winners were Andrew Rooney, Mick Keneally and Adam Murphy. Next draw takes place tonight with €3,300 on offer at Menalty GFC, or you can play it on the Club Force app. Kilmainham from last Monday night as well. No winner. The numbers were 7, 13, 14 and 24. They had €7,700 on offer. Five lucky dip winners, each receiving €20, were Dylan, Adam and Emily Morgan, Jay Farrell, Brian Black, Olive Cattle and Nicole Fagan, who actually was a winner in the Cortown Lotto as well last week. So Nicole, a Drumbara woman, spreading the love and paying dividends with her neighbouring clubs as well. Next one, I think it's the final one on my list, Mickey, is from Ballinlock, and they had a €5,000 jackpot last week. C, K, N and V, their numbers, no winner. Next draw will take place on the 26th. They did have a few match three winners who were Donal, Crossan, I think. I'm just trying
awesome.
To get this right, and it's very hard. I'm going to go with Phelan Brady and Seamus McNamee. The next draw takes place in the clubhouse. Susan Farrell, I hope you had a few whiskies on you when you were writing that one. But that's
it. Well, I'm delighted, but the Simonston and Kilmainham Wood ones are printed for me, so it's great. The Centreston Lotto last week was not won. Their lotto was taking place tonight. You can go to Smart Lotto and /Centreston for that one. Kilmainham Wood, just looking at it here from last Monday night, their lotto was taking place tonight as well. We're recording this on Monday evening. Their lotto last Monday was not won. Numbers drawn were 4, 16, 17, and 23. The five lucky dip winners were Alva Weldon, Ronnie Weldon, Kira Gargan, Mary Courtney Kellett, and MJ Tevlin. This week's lotto is a massive €5,400. So go to any of their social pages and you will find the link to their lotto there. Simonson's lotto last Friday the 16th was not won. It was €3,200. There was one match three winner, and that was Mary O'Brien. The numbers drawn were 9, 11, 16, and 17. Next Friday, the 23rd of June, the lotto in Simonson will be €3,250. And without saying anything, you just followed it up with three checkered flags. So that's obviously his little up the Dundalk town, up the town. Little shout out for this week. So yeah, thanks for that one, Jelly. Davey, probably time now to move on to our Instagram interactive.
I think so, Mickey. Yeah, quite a bit of Instagram interactive to get through, and there'll be more of that over on the Loyal Royals podcast as well. But we will start with Jesus, there's a good bit. Jack Walsh still talking about Ireland's last game, whilst the next one is kind of on now. But he said, shocking performance in Athens. Hashtag Kenny out.
Yeah, was. Look, you can't polish a turd, can you? Like, like what quality do we have really in that Irish team? Apart from Evan Ferguson, but like, he's not going to be able to, you know, he's not going to be able to change our fortunes, because you know we're missing central players, central midfield, central defence, we just don't have quality.
And a manager. Robert Perfield said, back to GA matters, Mickey.
Thank you.
Robert Perfield said James McEntee has been a massive re-addition to the team.
Yeah, and a massive find at centre half forward. You know, absolutely brilliant. Like, he's playing the football of his life there. Maybe he's just been played out of position all his life.
You and I was in his year in school, and I seem to remember Colin playing him a little bit more advanced. He could have played centre forward for Pats. I'm just trying to remember, and they got to the Hogan final that year as well. So it's probably not too much of a surprise. And he does play quite advanced with Curragh too. And incidentally, the few games he's played with Curragh this year, he's been playing in that sort of role, and he's been kicking scores at will. So maybe not too much of a surprise, but absolutely he's been a find, and he's back to his best, which is great to see. High and Rush said Jordan Morris is back with a question mark. I didn't know Jordan Morris is away, Mickey, but there you go.
Yeah, look, I suppose what he's getting at there is we're getting a bit more consistency from Jordy.
Yeah.
You know, and throughout the league, he was hit and miss. He played for 10 minutes here and there and whatever. But I think since Aaron Lynch has been added into that forward line with him, that he's a reborn player. And it's maybe the fact that there's so much continuity between those two lads since they were kids that it's given them that extra little bit, because he seems to be thriving playing in there beside Lynchy.
Flex Print Co said Harnan is a behemoth, and Gray covered every inch of Park Talton today. Stellar.
Yeah, well, you tell us about that now, Davey, because you were there to watch it. I was obviously commentating and listening to the game at the same time, practically.
Yeah, Conor Gray's been excellent, really, since coming into the team. He really has been. He's looked like he's belonged. He's just fitted in completely unnoticed. And the best compliment you could play him and Jack Flynn was that Ronan Jones wasn't there and nobody noticed, including myself. I think I tweeted that Ronan Jones was outstanding. He was so good, he wasn't even there. And Pádraig Harnan, to be fair, like that, I think Colm references in his post-match interview as well over in the Loyal Royals that, you know, people had this persona that Pádraig Harnan was washed up and maybe finished. He's far from it, like, and he's getting a string of games. He seems to be getting better for it too, which is great. Alex McKeever said best game under Colm we played, some of the best football Meath have played in years.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is that, yeah, I suppose it's the first 70 minute or close to 70 minute performance that we've had from Meath this year. Could you say the Cork performance was a 70 minute? No, we hit goals at different stages. And we played well towards the end of that game. Did we play well against Down for 70 minutes? I thought tactically we were really good for 70 minutes. Maybe lacked a little bit in in the play wise. But they did, they executed their job. This was the first time we got close to a 70-minute display.
Deck F. Dunn says, how has James McEntee not been on the team all year? Player of the match, definitely.
Yeah, well, there was an issue at the start of the year, fitness-wise and stuff like that, wasn't there? And he went off, got himself right and came back. And, you know, a little break did him the world of good.
Very much so. Dylan Buckley said, Aaron Lynch putting in a good shift before the halftime whistle.
Yeah. Now, I remember listening back to the Match Day Diary and... did he take a couple of hits in the first half, or was there like he was down getting water an awful lot in the first half? He was taking a lot of abuse.
Yeah, and he was struggling to stay on his feet as well. Even though he got a goal in two, I think in the first half he did really grow into it. I think he was a little bit dizzy at halftime, as what Colm said, and it was just more of a precaution, obviously, to withdraw him as a result. But he was very good, and as you referenced, Mickey linked up really well with Jordy at various different times as well.
And no need to risk him when. The game was won, exactly. Essentially.
And Colm did that with a number of players, the likes of Jack Flynn, Kyogi, James McEntee, all those kind of lads who were withdrawn, which was a nice position to be in the second half.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
Catherine Cook said, open direct football, love to see it. Looked like we could go for another 15 despite the pace of the game.
Yeah, well, you know, you're not going to be able to play that type of football every week. Just let's just rein it in a little bit. We're not going to be playing a team like Wexford that are going to play.
It'll be back to the future next week.
Exactly. Now you said it. Like, and that's no offence to Andy McEntee or Antrim, but they're going to be structured. They're going to play Ulster football. They're going to get 12, 14, 15 men behind the ball and play counter-attack football. So, you know, I was like, at one stage, Davey, in the Cavan match on Saturday, there was 29 players inside the down 45. Mm. And the only player outside the 45 was Ray Galligan, the Cavan goalkeeper, who was about 3 metres outside the 45-metre line. So you had practically all 30 players. So that's not conducive to really, really nice swashbuckler football, I can tell you.
No, even though Loud did it against Kerry at the weekend and Kerry still produced some swashbuckling football, but I think we're missing the Cliffords and that at the moment. So we probably won't be able to reproduce it, but they did. Dylan Buckley said some nice play in the last quarter from the under 20 subs. Yeah, there was Kieran Caulfield and Owen Frayne actually. Frayne got a point and there was some nice moves. Dahi McGowan is a little bit older than under 20, but maybe he was kind of referencing him as well in that. Next one is from Shane Riley. He said, good quick flow in football set us on our way to Croker.
Yeah, and again, it was. And I don't want to knock Wexford in any way, but we have to remember who we were playing and we weren't playing a team that we're going to set up to stop us from playing that quick playing football. Any other team that we come up against now will be trying to stop me from playing that fast attacking football.
Tom O'Connor said, if the hill is open for the semi-final, get a big crowd on it? Question mark. Yeah, that'd be nice. But I don't think when Dublin aren't involved, I don't think it'll be open, unfortunately, Tom.
Yeah, I'd say they'll have to see what way the appetite for tickets will go this week with the two semi-finals, Downleash, Meath, Antrim. You never know, but probably they'll try to squeeze them into the Hogan and the Cusack stand lower.
Yeah,
like what are we guessing at maybe for?
Well, there was only 25,000 at the Leinster hurling final, wasn't there, between Kilkenny and Galway? Hill wasn't opened. I think if you got 15,000, I think you'd be doing well.
Okay. Well, then
that'll be just my
run. And you get all of them into the hill.
yeah, the hill and the canal. Robert Perfield says, any idea what's planned for Premier 3-9 teams when championships finish? I think he's referencing what happens when the Premier Championship finishes. I believe, and this probably won't go down too well, but I believe that there's a league planned for July, which is a little bit arse-whizzed, but it is what it is. I think the feedback last year was that, you know, the Premier Championship started but didn't finish until first teams got going. Yeah, I'd say it's there's league for anybody that wants to be in it, but I'm not sure how strong the appetite will be for that either, Mickey.
Well, there's still like it's extra football for them if they want to play it, you know.
Yeah,
there will be a lot of lads away on holidays and whatever, but and as well as that, their first teams, second teams, maybe still in competition if it's a third team or whatever, and it could give them a chance to maybe step up, you know.
Maybe. Dylan Crehan was one of those who was looking ahead, and he says could potentially come up against Andy and his Antrim team. Yeah, you were spot on.
Can I ask you a question on that? Because I remember as well you referencing that Meath weren't able to play down in the semi-final. Is that fact? I thought that was only for the quarter-finals that you were.
No, semis as well.
What if three teams from one group had made it through to the semis then?
Yeah, I don't know. The GR2Q, they know like some of these Division 4 teams aren't going to, but yeah, it's a good point. Yeah. You're always thinking outside the box, Mickey. lucky to be working, said Colm is building a good team. Lads, Meath are free for the cup.
Don't be just getting ahead of ourselves. Antrim are not going to be a pushover, and if we do get over Antrim, I would expect Down to beat Leash, and if we were to get over Antrim and Down were to get over Leash, there'd be revenge in the minds of the Down lads going into that final. And they who would have learned more or who has progressed more since then, it'll be hard to know. But
it'll be a terrific final. You're right. He also said the Kildare Hams won. Yeah, some win.
Has to get the little dig in against Kildare. Yeah, got the win.
That dig wasn't quite as forceful as Shane Riley's, because Shane says, I see Kildare won the All-Ireland below on Tullamore today.
Kildare won the All-Ireland, and Loud brought out another commemorative jersey for the hammering against Kerry.
And finally, PS Tapes said, I'd say Davey enjoyed watching the Wexford number 6 #10 goals. I think I referenced it, didn't I?
You did indeed. Absolutely.
Glenn Malone, he was a good footballer, but his tan was top notch. It was absolutely This is what I was talking about, Wexford, Mickey, not taking the competition seriously. That fella has literally, I'd say, since they got booted out, done nothing but sit out in the sun. But it was impressive.
It was just so funny to hear. It was such a Davey Rispin comment to make. Wow, he's got a beautiful tan. That number 6 is a beautiful tan, and he's been working well on that. How's your own tan with all this beautiful weather?
It's doing well. I could do with the sun coming back out, because it needs to be maintained in that. But no, it's shaping up all right, to be fair.
And are you not trying to prepare for a league final?
Prepare for a league final?
Well, you're just after saying with the Wex. You're just after saying about the Wexford player, obviously down in tools and spending a lot of time with the tan instead of the football.
Yeah, but he is a very different training workload than what I would have in Carton, Mickey. So,
yeah, it's not up to.
I put that in as part of my training schedule. There's actually a few more, I beg your pardon. Cormac Brown wants to know, why is Ciampo so close to league and Tarleton Cup? Could they not be pushed back? That is a little bit annoying, because Meath are potentially, if Meath do make it to the final, that is the first, that is the weekend of the first round for Junior A and Junior B clubs. And then it's 2 weeks for the remaining teams after that. But yeah.
Yeah. What weekend is the All-Ireland final? It's the following weekend, is it?
Oh, it could be 2 weeks. I know the semi-finals are the weekend of the Tarleton final, which is the 16th.
Is right, yeah.
So I'd imagine it's 2 weeks. I'd say the Hurling final is the following week after Meade's Tarleton final.
Yeah, so I'd say what the story was there was that Meath were probably planning on being in the All-Ireland series, not in the Tarleton. Yeah. And we're thinking we probably won't make the semi-final, we'll make the quarter-finals, which will be next weekend. And, you know, we'll go out at that stage. The following year, they probably were going to put the football back and whatever. Yeah, look, it is. But if the Tarleton Cup final, I think, is on Saturday, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
So I'm sure they put all the championship games on the Thursday and Friday and let lads go to Croker. And Davey's shaking his head. It's not happening.
Not for us anyway. We're out on Sunday evening.
Yeah, but the games wouldn't be on the Saturday. We know that much anyway. So they're the Friday and the Saturday, Friday and Sunday of that weekend, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, look, hang on. We have to get to it.
Yeah, true.
We have to get.
I don't think anything's going to change though, because Adam Chute is on and he said, "Will championship be pushed back if we win the semi final?" I don't believe it will. So, there you go. Joe McGueaney, I think, with the last one, and more love for James. He says doing brilliantly, playmaking at 11.
James McAtee has just been a revelation at 11 for me since he came back in. We spoke about that earlier in the Instagram interactive. He's just been brilliant. And long may it continue.
Sinead.
Okay, well, don't forget to send all of our listeners over there to the Loyal Royals podcast. We have the Wexford Mead review from Park Tolchin on Saturday last, Colm O'Rourke and Jordan Morris. We'll also be previewing the Antrim game a little bit in that one as well. The All County Football League preview, lots up for grabs in the All County Football League this week. We'll be doing a preview of the final round of games taking place on Tuesday and Thursday. And then we have also the match day diary from the Wexford game, and a brilliant one there, with somebody coming in from Oldcastle, we're thinking, Davey. We saw an Oldcastle jersey in the profile. But he's in Chicago, Illinois. So if anybody can let us know who that is in Chicago, Illinois, that got involved with the match day diary on the weekend, we'd greatly appreciate it. And thanks for your contribution. And again, letting all our listeners know, for the match day diaries, please do get in contact with us. Keep it country and keep it family orientated. Like, we will edit them a little bit, but you can go to town a little bit, but like, don't be too rude or whatever, but do send us in your little voice notes for the match day diary, because it is brilliant and it adds to it as well, because we get all the official stuff from Davey and Ferg Lynch and people like that and whatever, and it's nice to get a bit of crack and get the opinions of our listeners as well. It's been a brilliant tool the last number of weeks, Davey.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'd like to think, with the Croker factor, a lot of people might have a few shandies in that too, before, during and after the games, that it might be a good opportunity for people to chip in. Absolutely. So yeah, hopefully we do.
Thanks to all the listeners that have contributed. We won't go through them all, but there's been plenty that have contributed over the last 3 or 4 weeks to the match day diaries, and keep them coming. That's what we say. Don't be afraid to send in your voice notes. Well, look, that's it for this episode of your We Are Meath podcast. Remember, We Are Meath. Bye. Adios, more.